All right. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Rebunked. My name is Scott, coming at you live from Nashville, Tennessee. And I don't know what's going on. Rockfin is being a jerk again. Ugh. By stream key. I don't know what's going on. So I guess if y'all are over there watching on Rumble, Nope. There it goes. Okay. So we're just rocking on Rumble today. So I don't know. I'll have to investigate what's going on with Rockfin. But in the meantime, thank you all so much for joining me this evening. I'm very excited to have my returning guest tonight, Daryl Becker, on to talk about controversial medical related topics and all kinds of fun stuff, censorship, of course. But before we get too far into it, I just want to tell you guys how you can follow and support the show. So I just want to real quick start off shouting out my buddy Brandon, one of my good friends from back in Eugene, Oregon, who is an expert master glassblower. He's helped me out with some projects recently, and so I wanted to shout out his business. So I want you guys, it's Brandon's plural, Brandons glass.etsy.com. If you need any glasswares, if you need like marbles or what are these little glass borosilicate glass dichroic vortex marble, like everybody needs one of these in your lives. And of course, he's got the chillums, he's got the pipes, you know. So if you like to indulge in the old puffy every now and then, you gotta get one of these. Look at these. They just sit nice on your tabletop. Beautiful. Average 5-star review out of 200 orders. I mean, you can't beat it. I know Brandon personally, great guy, great musician, family man, glass blower. Like, please go support his work, just because, you know, he's one of us, and he's helping support the efforts and the projects that I'm doing. And so you guys could support this show and support my work by supporting Brandon, getting yourself a nice little glass item of any kind. And if you do, give me a shout, give me a holler, let him know that you heard about it on my show. I'm sure that'll lift his spirits quite a bit. So please go give Brandon some love at brandonsglass.etsy.com. Cool. And let's see. So as far as this show, if you guys want to follow and support the show, I would suggest heading over to rebunked.substack.com. Hit the Substack, subscribe for free. That way you can be on the email list and get notifications about anytime I go live, anytime I have any announcements or anything related to the show. There's also a way to become a $5 a month subscriber, and that really helps me with all of the expenses of the show. I really appreciate all of you that choose to support the show and the work that goes on here through the Substack. There's also a discount of like $50 a year, so you save like 10 bucks a year if you do it that way. But I do appreciate anybody that wants to financially support the show via Substack. But also, I just want to encourage you just to subscribe for free. You'll get an email list whenever I go live, and just helps us all stay in touch, right? Another great way to support the show is through the t-shirt shop. We got all kinds of fun shirts. You know them. You love them. You got the Rebunk design. You've got the Beavis Are You Threatening Me shirt, which is by far the most popular. Everybody, I just had a listener reach out to me recently telling me that they love their Are You Threatening Me shirt. And so high quality, fantastic shirts from Big Frog Beaverton. Shout out to Ryan and Amanda. $16 for a t-shirt, you guys. You can't get a $16 t-shirt anywhere. And I know we're coming up into spring and summer, but we still got the hoodies up there for $30. A $30 hoodie does not exist anywhere in the realm besides right here at the Rebunk shop. We got all kinds of colors. So if you see a design you like, click on it. I see false flags. Like, here we are coming up into false flag season, right? Can you imagine how awesome that would be to be stuck in a false flag with your I see false flag shirt? Like, you could ruin their entire media psyop if everybody in America was wearing their I see false flag shirts while they're running a false flag. They couldn't show footage of it in the media if everybody's wearing the I see false flag shirt. You know what I'm saying? Like, so this is how we fight back, right? So everybody should be wearing an I see false flag shirt everywhere they go, especially if you're going to any like concerts or large public gatherings. Like, I see false flags, everybody, right? We got lady shirts, we got hats, we got beanies, and we got stickers. Okay. Support the show. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And then, of course, you can find links to all this stuff on the main landing page, rebunk.news. You can find links to all our affiliates as well, including Richard Grove's Autonomy. And I know season 11, I think, is kicking off tomorrow. I believe it's season 11. I went to the meet and greet last week, which is really cool. Meet a lot of the new students. I think I graduated season 8. But if you guys have any interest in autonomy, you know, leveling up your entrepreneur skills, click that link, go through the obstacle course, and see if autonomy is right for you. You can still join after they start. Everything's pre-recorded, or it gets recorded so you can go back and catch up. But I gained so many skills out of that, and I know that you will too. So at the very least, you should click that link, because that's how you help support the show, is by clicking the link at rebunk.news, going through the obstacle course and seeing if it's right for you. And then, of course, Heavy Metal Detox, truthtrs.com. That's my little landing page I built on top of my affiliate link for TRS, Cosiva TRS. And so it's, you know, again, supporting the show and your health, going through a heavy metal detox using TRS. Fantastic stuff. Like, it's just unbelievable. I don't know how familiar you are with TRS, but there's a really good Facebook page. Maybe I should put a link to that in here, because it's just like nonstop testimonials. You basically type in any ailment, and there's a testimonial in there about people who have alleviated that ailment with TRS. Now, not medical advice, right? Like the episode says, but TRS is a pretty powerful product. I know it's got a lot of popularity around families with children who have been injured by childhood vaccines. It really helps to kind of dissipate a lot of the heavy metals that have been wrecking their little bodies. Like, TRS actually helped clear a lot of that out, and a lot of people have had miraculous recoveries from using TRS. So I'm proud to talk about it. I've talked to experts who, you know, have nothing but good things to say about it. So truthtrs.com is the link, or you can find a link right there on the rebunk.news landing page. And then, of course, any other value for value contributions. See, all you Bitcoin bros out there, I got my Bitcoin link right there. If all you people that just minted a few million bucks, if you're watching the show and you want to help your boy out, you got a little bit right there, my little Ethereum address, you know what I mean? For those of us who missed the dip, right? Maybe we'll pay more attention next time, but hey, maybe there won't be a next time. So, you know, you show some love. If you get value out of the show, drop a little Bitcoin in your boy's wallet here, and then all the social medias and video platforms. So thank you all so much for the preamble. I really appreciate you guys. I appreciate you guys. You know what I mean? Like, this is just a value for value show. We're just over here trying to put out value. And if you guys need value out of it, those are a few different ways that you can support. So thank you once again. I'm really excited to bring in my guest today. And he's been on the show before. We've worked behind the scenes on stuff before. I believe he's an autonomy graduate as well. He's a holistic health practitioner, licensed acupuncturist, podcaster, entrepreneur, everything in between, Mr. Daryl Becker. Welcome back to the show, my man.
Hey, Scott. So great to join you.
All right. Well, thank you for coming back on. And it's and then, of course, how could I fail to mention this? Like, you put in a lot of work brightening people's day all day long, and your Instagram and your Facebook. Dude, you guys, if you're not following Daryl's Instagram, you got to. Okay. Link in the episode description. It's memes of all types. It's not just like truth or memes. It's like really makes you smile type of memes too. You know what I mean? Like,
awesome.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Yeah, man, dude. You know, like, over there, I gotta say, like, I just got like some criticism where, you know, it's gonna happen once in a while, right? Where someone's like, you know, you could have fact checked this, you know, like, you know, this is not really accurate. And he was like, you know what? I'm not a news channel, and yeah, I'm posting things because it's entertaining and makes me think. If I post something, you still are required to do your own research.
Yep.
And it's cool if you could find something that's not accurate, because I'm not really like a news channel there. That's for my entertainment. That's not. It's not like I'm being paid to provide that service of Instagram or Facebook, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And, well, it's more of a commentary on them if they are getting their news and information from a silly meme channel that's more reflective on their discernment and their information gathering skills. And so I wouldn't take it personally, but yeah, you can't win them all, man. I posted another one. God, what was it? I posted one the other day. It was like the famous meme, you know, of like the guy staring down from the clouds, you know what I mean? Like, the guy's face, he's staring down from the clouds. It's like kind of blurred into the clouds. It's like your ancestors who fought, you know, and died in all of these wars for your freedom are watching you lose your freedom to a bunch of like blue haired transgender people or something like that. And like the commentary was like, yeah, me staring back at them, like, knowing that they didn't die for our freedom. They just died in banker wars. And even in the caption, I'm like, you guys, I know the whole died for our freedom thing. Just, I get it. Just enjoy the meme. Just kind of kick back and enjoy the meme. Like, you don't have to like take it all personally and get all bent out of shape. Like, I get it. I know. Just enjoy the meme.
Take things personally is very optional. You know, just like responding to any comments is also optional for me too now. Yeah. So I've had to like wait, like, oh, are they paying me? Do I want them in my unpaid life? Do I want them in my paid life? You know, based upon the words that I'm getting here, you know, and that's an equation I highly recommend people do.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's you know, that's a little bit of our me and Scott catching up behind the scenes now.
Totally, man. Well, I mean, it sounds like you got a lot of cool stuff going on. I know that one of the main kind of broad overview topics that kind of brought us together back in the day. I mean, I know I got involved with Content Safe. Like, I was one of like your guys' first clients, like back in the Truthzilla days, back in like 2020. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know that I got in touch with Matthew Raymer. Big shout out to Matthew. He's been on the show as well. And then I think it was later on, I found out that you were involved with Content Safe as well, which is so cool. Like, we got connected through other means, I think maybe through Autonomy. I can't remember exactly.
I found out that, Scott acquired you as a client before I even was aware of it. I was like, oh, there's Scott Armstrong. I know Rebunked. Yeah. Okay. And I reached out to you and I found out, oh, we already got you.
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, yeah, we were one of the first people over there at Truthzilla. And then you guys were kind enough once I left Truthzilla and they decided not to keep the show going, basically to like transfer that our already existing arrangement over to Rebunk. So I really appreciate you guys for that. You know, I mean, it's really cool. And so Content Safe, like, tell us a little bit about it, like what it is, where the idea from it about it came from, and we'll just kind of go from there.
Yeah. So in 2018, there was the great deplatforming. We're talking Alex Jones and about 1,000 other creators. Of course, the sitting president at that time, Donald Trump, all of them getting removed from Facebook and YouTube and Twitter. Forms, you know, like basically like PayPal and situations like Patreon and MailChimp, email distribution companies. So we got to see big tech flex its muscle. It's muscle of saying we remove unilaterally. And when they removed these people, it wasn't just contentious people like Alex Jones. It was removing small time creators who just like literally got swept into the storm and just were like arbitrarily put on a list and taken off of those big tech platforms. They were just removed. And many of them were just, you know, obviously they were being removed because they're asking questions. You know, this is very inconvenient timing for asking questions. They wanted to control the questions that are being answered, the Overton window, that's what it's called, where you can control like what's going on. And I was already working with Matt for the other tech company that he's got, you know, that's obviously big tech solutions, you know, for small tech companies is what we do. It's Anomalous Design, that's building websites and software that solve solutions, you know, that we're working for the Anomaly Style. Like we both met in another one of Richard Grove's communities, that of tragedyandhope.com. And that's where I got to meet Matt in 2015. We were working for 3 years already and we saw the need for this. So he had the technical acumen to put together Content Safe to distribute the video of a producer like you, for example, up on a lot of the alt tech platforms that do not censor. And you know what it takes, Scott, to upload to each of those places. It is time consuming. It is frustrating because you're going to have upload failed happen. And what's the purpose of it? Well, the purpose is to grow your audience, Scott. You're up on more places. You're in front of more eyes and ears. You're solving your audience's problem. They need Rebunked because Rebunked solves problems. I need a specific Beavis and Butthead style t-shirt. I need a specific piece of information. I need to have alternative media topics being covered with an open mind and deep questions. And this is the problems that you solve for people. And if you're in front of more people, well, now you're solving their problems. And now they're like, shut up and take my money, Scott. I need more ways to pay you to help keep solving my problems of what you do for me. So that's what we did. You know, we got together and we made that. I've been working as the chief marketing officer and co-owner of Content Safe since then. I'm about to do a full rebrand, a full complete, you know, change of the sales page and everything like that, working behind the scenes on that. And yeah, like the solution is very simple. Like basically you blast your video out there to more places. Now you have more eyes and ears on your content. Because, you know, you've heard of Aaron Schwartz. Does that name ring a bell?
Oh, yeah. Reddit. The Reddit guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was the one of the co-inventors of the RSS feed. Maybe he was the main inventor of that.
Yep, because
of Aaron Schwartz, your audio for this show, it is instantly blasted on all of the places. And that there's less of a boundary for like having your audio distributed. It's really very easy to distribute your audio. But this video right now, like what I'm pointing to, the video going on, that is harder to distribute on these other platforms. And I'm talking about, you know, obviously Rumble, like this is live to Rumble, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. But yep. BitChute and Odyssey and Brighteon and Band.video and obviously Rockfin, and then we could go to Mines, and there's a host of other places that we distribute to. So if you're up on all of those places, that gets you some points. You know, now you're in front of people, more eyes, you're growing your audience. That's the first part that I lead with. But the second part is now we're fighting censorship. Because have you ever looked into the money that went into Rumble recently? Like how much money and where it came from?
No. Let me bring it down.
Well, man. I haven't found where the money came from, but it was a lot of money. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars. And that's how they were able to get, you know, like throw a big bone over to Russell Brand and have him join on Rumble. And they were able to pay him millions because they have millions to throw at a big creator who can grab attention. You know, that's like, that's your influencer idea. An influencer campaign, it's an excellent idea, obviously. Working on it, you know, our biggest clients, that'd be Sam Tripoli, Tinfoil Hat, James Corbett, The Corbett Report. Those are some of like the big names that we use as influencers. But yeah, when you have a big name like that and you throw millions at them, now your question is, well, where are those millions coming from? And at what point will censorship start to seep into Rumble? And I don't know, but I do. Here's what I do know is that BitChute and Odyssey and Brighteon and Band.video, it's going to take a little bit longer for censorship to squeeze into those ones, especially something like Band.video that Alex Jones made, or Brighteon that the Health Ranger Mike Adams made. I mean, these people literally made a platform for their video because they were disgusted and frustrated and furious about being censored off of YouTube and Facebook and Twitter at that time. And there was obviously, you know, censorship is a big flex for the big tech, but I guess that's where it came from. Content Safe, we're just here to help grow your audience. And the other thing we do, Scott, is imagine not just like the last video, the last 20 videos, but your whole library of videos, all of Rebunked up on a platform. That's what we can do. And for you to do that, I mean, how many Rebunked episodes you got?
I think like, this is 157 right now. And then a few random ones here and there. So yeah.
Yeah, that would take you a while to personally put 157 episodes up on each platform.
It'd be impossible.
We can do that. It's possible, but it's like
I wouldn't do it. Yeah, there's no way I'd do it.
But we could do it, and obviously that's just as a matter of weeks or days. And that it's 157. That would be days of work for us because it's automatically it just does its thing.
Yeah.
And well, that's what a difference is. Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, man, I just got to tell you as a person who has been using your service for damn near 4 years now, like it has made my life infinitely more simpler. Like there's no way as a podcast producer, content creator, like that I would be able to do this and have the same amount of reach that I do without Content Safe. Like literally, like, so I used to, so this is like my like testimonial, right? You know what I mean? And so it's like, we used to not live stream, right? We used to basically pre-record all of our episodes. I would edit them and spend probably way too much time like nitpicking on little details and stuff like that. And I got to the point where I was like, no, this is too much. And so, you know, eventually that led to me deciding to live stream, you know, even if there's problems and glitches and crap like today, like the Rockfin stream isn't working. It's like, whatever, I'll fix that later. Whatever, doesn't matter. But, you know, for me, before Content Safe and before I started live streaming, my workflow would be edit the video, probably spend a few hours doing that, exporting, which I had a slow computer at the time, so it would take a good couple hours to export the video, and then go in and upload to, like at the time, like YouTube, and then I'd have to upload to Odyssey, and then BitChute, and then Rumble, and then, and each one of those would take like at least an hour. You know what I mean? like between you, you're going in and you're copying the episode description, you're importing the thumbnail, you're like each one, it was mind numbing. It was so excruciating. By far, my least favorite part of podcasting is uploading content, right? Like that just sucks at that point. It's like, I just want to get it out. So I'm talking like hours, like 20 hours a week, probably easily minimum, like per episode of like uploading and dealing with post-production related crap. You know what I mean? And now that I live stream and I have content safe, you know what my workflow is I literally hit go live and then I hit end stream and that's it. And I'm done. Now I do that. Like you do have to do the thumbnail and episode description ahead of time. But what I do is I only live stream on Rumble and Rockfin where it needs to capture like an episode description. And then from there, Content Safe takes the description, takes the thumbnail, takes the MP4 file and puts it out to all the other platforms, like re-uploads. Cause I stream on Odyssey, but it doesn't keep the stream. So you have to like re-upload to Odyssey. And so like, you know, it uploads to all the other platforms that I'm on for me. And I don't have to do any of that crap. So it's like, it's so nice, dude. Like, so that's just my testimonial. It makes my life infinitely more easy. And so my show prep, rather than post-production, it's kind of shifted to show prep. And it takes me about an hour start to finish to like prep a show. You know what I mean? And so instead of like having to do that after the fact, like doing the post-production, if you're recording, it's all up front, but that's easy stream. And I've got that down to like a science and it's just boom, boom, boom. And so once I'm ready to do the show, it's like I stream and I'm done and that's it. So easy, dude.
That's awesome.
That's it. I mean,
and you know what? Yeah. Imagine the day where suddenly we offer everything that you get in StreamYard. The whole green room, the editing, right? Because that's what we're aiming to do. Because we want to say, hey, can we poach you away from StreamYard and pay us instead?
I would absolutely do that in a heartbeat, man. 100%.
Right. Yeah. Unfortunately, the development cost for doing what StreamYard does is something that we're trying to, you know, wrangle, because that's, we're talking like a quarter to a half $1 million of development.
Oh, easy. Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you know, now that I'm working with Unjected, like I can see behind the curtain about what it takes to like develop like an actual working, functional, like legit website. You know, it's insane. And it's like some people, like I get emails all the time about Unjected, like, why don't you guys, like, I could fix this in like a day. Like, what are you guys doing? Like, literally, I'm like, you fucking idiots. You have no idea what you're talking about. Get out of here. It's annoying, dude.
I could do this
like a day, man. Yeah. I'm a coder, dude. I could fix your website in like a day. Like, what is this? Like, what's taking so long? I'm like,
So yeah, that's quite a claim, but like there's a lot of people who's gonna claim things, and it's like, I guess that's the it's gonna see what actually happens. But yeah, in the end of it all, you know, the idea eventually is like, what are people paying for? Like right now, content creators like you, like everyone over at Unjected, what do you pay for? What do you want to have? And what you want is live streaming. You want your show up live on all the places if possible.
Yeah.
And that's, so, you know, obviously a good business, no matter what size of a business, it's going to pivot to go with what the actual paying clients want.
Mm-hmm.
So we've seen the writing on the wall. You guys love live streaming. You love this kind of stuff. You like right now, are there people that you can see in the chat? Are there questions coming in or something?
No, I don't have anybody chatting. Like there's just a few people watching, but they're being very mysterious. Low-key. They're lurking.
Okay. Well, you know, that's going to happen sometimes, but maybe, you know, if I was a bigger name and it drew that attention, then they'd be popping up, you know.
It's all good. They're just so stunned. They're speechless right now. They don't even know what to say. They're just like, oh my God.
Yeah. Well, I'm really grateful for the, first of all, Scott, like I got to say, thank you for having so many people on your show to cover the topic of the terrain model of health.
There you
and
go.
Disease.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Like you've got all the big names. You had Parker.
Don Parker, David Lester, or David Parker. I always get their. I always forget what the Parker Lester. Yep. Yes, they crush. They crush.
Who's that author?
Mr. Dr. William Trebbing. That's my dude right there.
That was a good show.
Yeah.
And of course, you just had Anthony Samaroff over on.
Yep.
And I know they didn't go deep into terrain, but that's fine. You know.
No, yeah, we kind of because I know that's Anthony's big push. He's way into that. We were there to talk about the infertility, just the issue of infertility and how to like increase fertility, and then the clinic that they're putting on, or I guess you should say the retreat they're putting on down in Mexico. But so that was like one of my leading questions is like, how does like the terrain model fit into like what you guys are doing? And it kind of seemed like Anthony was more willing to go there, whereas the Dr. what was her name? Megan. Let me pull it up here. It was, anyway, she seemed a little less in the terrain realm, maybe as much as we might be. And so I was like, I kind of steered away from it a little bit, but it's like, you know.
Yeah. I like what she had to say about pelvic health in general. And I think that
totally.
There's nothing humbling like being a healthcare provider for it's like 26 years for me. It's been enough time that it's really moments of humility of how much more I have to go, how much better I could do, how much more I've got to learn.
Yeah.
Because I keep learning new things. And if you're out there with a medical condition and you have, you know, like think you've tried everything, you are just actually just frustrated and you have tried nothing compared to everything. There's so much more you're not even aware of, much less you ever tried it, you know?
Yeah.
I understand overwhelm and it's a lot, you know, like a medical professional like myself and actually she was an acupuncturist, the other doctor who was with Anthony Samaroff.
Yeah, that's
you know,
right.
It's a process to go through to get your license, your medical license. And it's a very damaging mental, emotional process. You can cover it in the book called Disciplined Minds by Jeff Schmidt. It goes over the soul crushing problems that happen to anyone who goes through an institute of higher learning, like where you're just given, you know, like these years of grueling tests and exams and, you know, eventually leading up to the final and extremely unfair board exams. When I mean unfair, I mean like basically it's a whole bunch of trick questions that are just really like where they're putting similar answers, multiple choice next to each other. And has nothing like your ability to pass your medical boards has nothing to do with your ability to help people medically. They are two separate things. It's kind of like there's no in the realm of marketing and copywriting and sales, there is no board exam and there could never be because your final exam is, do you make something that converts? Did you make a funnel? Did you make an advert? Did you write copy that converts from, you know, basically clicks into dollars? Or did you not? You know, yeah. It's basically like that. And the equation to do that is changing all the time.
Yeah.
You know, so that's reality for you, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's really, that's fascinating stuff, man. And it's like, you know, I'm starting to learn all that stuff, like the marketing side, the click funnels, lead generators, like all that fun stuff, you know what I mean? For all these various projects that I'm involved in. But yeah, I am finding that even like what was popular, like on Instagram, what was popular, like a year ago, like it's kind of now they're like, oh, that's kind of outdated. It's like, what? Like I heard rumors saying like you don't even want to use hashtags anymore. Like, what's up with that? Like, come on, maybe that's just misinformation. But anyway, I didn't even want to get into a whole marketing thing. But I love so the idea. So what? I think last time we talked a fair amount about the terrain model. What was kind of your like? Have you always been like into the terrain aspect of things, or have you kind of seen things in such a way that when you learn about the terrain model, it kind of lined up? Because that was kind of more my experience. Like what was your awakening to the whole like terrain versus germ situation?
Well, the crazy thing is my medical teacher, Rick Warman, showed me the book Pasteur or Béchamp like right away in my first year of training. So I got shown that this was an option, that this was a way of thinking right away, but he operated in his clinic as if viruses were real and caused disease, and he operated as if bacteria are something that you can catch from other people, and that there was evidence to show that this is the case. He operated as if these pathogens come from the outside, and as far as I can tell, the only pathogens that can come from the outside and go into the inside that weren't there and then they are go inside and cause a problem are called parasites. Those are real. But of course, frequently they're already inside and they didn't come from outside. They just more like they were dormant and then they started to grow.
Interesting.
And that's frequently what they were already there. We're talking about, of course, like protozoa style parasites. And then even some of the worms can stay dormant for a long time. But for the most part, I didn't really question this stuff. And because he operated that way, I went along with him thinking he knows better. And then came, you know, 2020. And that was a realization where now it was time for me to audit what I think I know. Like, and I'm such a big proponent of these qualities called curiosity, flexibility, and humility, and courage. So where's my humility muscle? Like, you know, like muscle, how much you can lift, right? You know, I'm not in the gym as often as you, Scott. Like, I'm a newbie to the gym. Means like Saturdays for me, but and I've got a trainer, but like I'm new to this kind of stuff and I'm starting like gradually and like lifting humility is, where was I wrong before? Where could I be wrong right now? You know, could I be wrong about something in the future? So I lifted that way in 2020. I said, I could be wrong about viruses. Let me research and see what virology is based on. And when I looked at what virology is based on, and I'm sure I'd like love for you to have Alex Zeck on your show. If he's
on. Yeah. He was on Unjected. We interviewed him on Truthzilla. I haven't quite had him on Rebunk yet. He's a hard one to pin down. He's usually like 6 months out. Like we,
oh,
like,
for sure. Yeah.
He's hard to get on the schedule, but yeah,
that was a good show.
Yeah. But no, I've hung out with him a couple of times. Like I've met him at a couple of these events we put on. And so he's a great dude. Yeah. Alex is awesome for sure.
So you get the idea. Like he covers it a bit more succinctly. And I think with all of like his bullet points lined up, but all of virology in a nutshell seems to be very fraudulent because a lot of scanning electron microscopy, the scanning electron microscope studies itself are also fraudulent the way they're utilized, meaning like just the way the mechanism works. And this is all was revealed in the 1990s by a certain Dr. Harold Hillman. And Dr. Tom Cowan covers this extensively in his work. And as does, you know, Dr. Sam Bailey, her husband, Dr. Mark Bailey, you know, all the other people, obviously, Dr. Andrew Kaufman. They all cover Hillman because Hillman was one of the first people to blow the whistle on scanning electron microscopy being, hey, guess what? They're not doing controls. A control experiment is where you have the healthy cells being used and healthy excretions from a healthy animal being used in the same experiment right next to the unhealthy animal or unhealthy human cells or basically cell waste or excretions or whatever, mucus, whatever you want to be testing and looking under. And they're not doing any controls basically. Mm-hmm. And we know this because when Dr. Stefan Lanka over in Germany started doing controls, he found that lo and behold, you know, like he could put up 100,000 euros of his own money over in Germany and say, I will give this to anyone who could prove that the measles virus causes a disease. And all the way to the German Supreme Court, and they lost every one of them because they just demonstrate it. Because guess what? Proof means that now you need to have controls. And when you start doing controls, you find out that whatever you're calling a virus is looking like it's cell membrane wrapped around cell waste or toxins. That's why there's no reproductive organs inside of a virus. And when you see those images of a virus shooting their genetic material into a cell, that's called animation because there's no such thing as videography at that scale. That doesn't exist at that scale. It's all still photos. And there's no photo of a single virus injecting its material. There's no scanning electron microscope image of that. It doesn't work that way. That's all just completely a brilliant PR scheme. And it made a lot of money. I would say it made trillions of dollars. And everything it's something you could look at. You know?
Dude, it's so true. It's you know, it's really funny. Now I haven't been able to replicate this since this happened, but it happened live on the show a few weeks ago. I don't know if you watched my episode with Liev Dalton, the Beyond Terrain episode, but we were talking about this too. We were talking about the electron microscope thing. We were talking about the idea of isolated virus. I typed into Google because he was going off. He was describing like the actual science of it. And I typed into Google, look at this. I typed in isolated virus And this is what Google said. It said, it looks like there aren't many great matches for your search. And I was like, whoa, like I captured the screenshot of it. Now, every time I type in isolated virus now, now that little warning doesn't pop up. But what's funny is when you click on images here, it's like, okay, there's that one and there's that one. But the rest of these are like, they're all like animations. Look, there's no, they're all just fucking animations, man. It's all just cartoons. Yeah. It's all cartoon world. Like everything you think you know of a virus, it's all cartoons, man.
Yeah, so it's up there with other topics where, you know, information has been majorly corrupted. And then I went the same route with bacteria and to say, hey, are bacteria causing these diseases or are they already endemic on the person and in the person? And that's then when they're overgrowing, they cause certain symptoms, right?
Yeah.
That the overgrowing, but then the bacteria are verifiable. You can see them actually in videography. You can see them like moving around. You can see them growing and dividing. And they seem to be eating dead cell waste, that their function is to remove the stuff that needs to get removed to deal with things like that. Sometimes even clustering around toxins. It's been shown for a long time that candida and other fungal so-called infections, they are very remarkably effective at finding mercury and other heavy metals and clustering around them to protect the host organism from the toxin because they want to live. And they're there to promote the life of their greater host. That's us. So they like when if you have those dark metal fillings in your mouth, those silver mercury fillings, that's mercury. This type of mercury is then leaching, you know, it's off-gassing into your mouth. You're inhaling it. It's also going into the cells, you're swallowing bites of it each time. And that's going to be small amounts of mercury poisoning. So where is that going to go? Well, I'll fill in the blank for you because I'm not going to expect you to have the answers to all these, Scott. It's going to go where your body is going to put it is away from the internal organs, away from the brain and heart, away from the very critical organs if possible. And it's going to start compartmentalizing it into fat and making more fat around it. So when you see all these people who are fat, and we certainly see a rise of people who are fat in the last, say, 50 years plus, you know, like in photo evidence, we have evidence of like, here's the beach in 1970. Here's the beach in 2024.
Yes,
what's
exactly.
What's going on? Exactly. You know, like, it's not like fat people were ashamed to go to the beach. That's not it. Although I'm sure some people are, but like, that's not it. You know, like the outrageous style of obesity, the you know, morbidly obese was just not there. It was such a rarity. I remember it being such a rarity because I was a little child making fun of someone as, you know, honestly, like a 7-year-old, like one of the lunch aides, someone who was just like there to sort of corral all the children in elementary school. She was the only one I could point to who was morbidly obese, but no one else was. Now I know a lot more about what would be the cause of Mrs. Buell's obesity. I'm going to name her out there. Mrs. Buell. It's just like, there's all these things that could have caused that. Obviously, the seed oils that were starting to be put into foods, the, you know, overemphasis on inappropriate carbohydrates that are like just way not, you know, like ready for a body to handle. There's a lot of different types of drugs that will just definitely help you put on and keep weight. And then there's the actual toxins themselves, like I mentioned, Scott, like where if you're chronically exposed to a certain toxin, your body, if it's going to try to save you properly, is going to make you big because big people can survive better than little people. You know, size matters in nature. And you know, like it just allows you to like I'm built to be a sprinter, not to be a power lifter, but I'm trying to go that direction anyway, you know.
Sure.
It's a change. But like there's for most people though, they take in toxins, they get bigger because it starts to compartmentalize into their cells of their fats.
That's so fascinating. Okay. Yeah.
And when they lose weight, then the toxin gets released. And this is the problem. Okay. The toxin gets released and that changes how you think and your emotional terrain of how you feel. And this is why people have trouble losing weight is because it just disrupts everything going on for them. And then when the free-flowing toxins are spread throughout, they're not taking toxin chelators like the one that you promoted in the beginning of the show. You know, they're not to say that that's one is going to be like solve every single problem.
No, but not at
you
all.
Can find the specific types of toxin removing medicines. Some of them are intravenous, like EDTA, and they would just reduce down the toxic load at the same time as losing weight. Or, you know, the addition of doing lots of sauna, you know, where the sweating and the sweating action like that. I get to do that during the hot yoga kind of thing where you get a combination sauna and workout at the same time. And it's pretty wild like that. But yeah, Scott, there's a lot of solutions. I think what I love about medicine is that even if it's challenging, there's a solution for everything. And if you think that there isn't, you know, of course you're going to lose hope. Like the people who try to lose weight and then they end up, you know, having their perception changed because again, the toxins that were in the fat are now free flowing and that now affects their thinking and then they might make the bad choices of going back to finishing an entire, you know, thing of ice cream, for example, or going back to the carbohydrates and stuff. You get it, right?
Yeah, dude, absolutely. That makes so much sense, man. And I've heard so many different like approaches to like weight loss, for example. Like obviously it's the calorie deficit type idea where you have to burn more calories than you take on. But then I've heard also some people recently say that you know, you actually always want to be like snacking or like you never want to go hungry. Like you never want to get into a state of hunger, like fasting, right? For example, like some people use fasting as like a weight loss strategy, which I don't necessarily think that's a good approach to it because, you know, because the bounce back or the whiplash of like coming off a fast, like, you're probably going to indulge even more so. But the idea that being kind of like similar to what you talked about with the, you know, segregating the toxins in the fat. Like if you're starving your body, then your body basically goes into survival mode, like automatically. And it tries to hold on to those fat reserves. Like if you're starving yourself throughout the day with the intention of losing weight, then it signals to your body, hey, we actually have to hold on to this fat. Like don't burn the fat, whatever you do. Have you heard of that as well? What are your thoughts on that versus that versus the calorie deficit model? Like what are your thoughts on that?
Okay. Well, the wonderful thing about it is that there is no run right diet or even plan for everybody.
Sure.
We're all individuals. And like, just like you can't put the same oil filter that's in my Nissan into whatever your vehicle is,
yeah,
you know, because that's just not going to work. And so for some people, fasting would be a great idea because their GI system needs a break and that's giving them a real break. And because if they have excess weight on them, they have a lot of excess that they could get rid of as long as they can handle what's going to happen. And what I mentioned where the toxins are being released and where, in other words, where the perception is going to change, like, are they supported in life? Do they, and it can be made easier. It can be made easier by like, just, again, you can take, you know, oral supplements of various kinds. We're, you know, talking about zeolite and all kinds of other toxin removing substances, modified citrus pectin, for example. There's many different substances, but you, a professional like myself or the people that I find for people, like I'm a holistic healthcare professional and I do consulting. So wherever you are, whatever zip code you live in or other parts of the world, I could find someone who would find what's biocompatible for you and
that's
to
amazing.
Slowly walk you through the process because you don't have to guess. I'm not going to move my camera, but like over here, like how high up is it from here, from the floor to the ceiling? And because I've got a rope here for rope climbing and, you know, like nice. I get to climb up and like, why would I guess that when I'm going to order this, you know, in the same way as why are you going to guess which is the substances that are biocompatible for you that will one, help you remove the toxins and two, not hurt you. Those are the two components, right? Well, you know, starting in 1964, a certain Dr. George Goodhart came up with the way to do this one way. Now there's lots of other ways, but he came up with a new way, which is called applied kinesiology. He started to see the correlations between strong and weak muscles. There's around 230 some muscles that can be isolated, Scott, in the body. And they all flow along various meridians and pathways. And they all are innervated, of course, by places in the spine. guess what? That's, you know, that's why if you get injured the spine, you lose power to various areas. But not just that, Scott. Those muscles in your arms, legs, and neck, they also are the same nerves that go to power up those muscles for the arm, for example, for the deltoid muscle like that. Those same nerves will also go to the lungs. So if you have a problem with your lungs and you're constantly checking just one muscle, the anterior deltoid like that, and that's a common muscle test, you need to know that you're also checking on lung issues. And if you have compromised lung problems, you could have compromised anterior deltoid, medial deltoid, posterior deltoid. You could have problems in that pectoral muscle. All of these can be compromised. So he found this out in 64. And since then, it's been hundreds of thousands of chiropractors and holistic healthcare professionals like myself who use the muscles to find out what's going on. We use the spine to tell us what's going on. And it tells us also, we can use them to say, is this medicine? Is this zeolite? Is this modified citrus pectin? You know, is this sodium alginate? This zeolite, is this compatible with the person? Will it hurt them? Does it help them? So like something is weak at first. Okay, does it make it strong next? And everything is like a computer for the body. On, off, strong, weak. Sometimes in between and fluttering, but most of the time it's on, off. It's 0-1. And it's awesome like that. So it's not just me. It's, you know, across America, I could go to the International College of Applied Kinesiology and find a professional for you, Scott, for anyone who's got a problem. And they're going to go and see what's behind your problem. Like say, you know, something chronic, hair loss, alopecia. But below that, they could say digestive problems. We have snoring and gas and things like that. What's underneath that? And they would go and find how are we going to treat this? Because that's like going to, you know, there's two ways. You treat the root, what's the root causes of this? And we're talking causes, plural, everything's plural. And then also the branches. Well, we need to help your symptoms right away. Because, you know, otherwise you're going to stop coming to us and stop paying us. Because we don't take insurances, most of us. We don't do that kind of stuff. We take real money from real adults who've got real problems, just like the person who fixes your car, like you, or fixes your house, like you, Scott. The we take, you know, your insurance does not.
I don't take insurance either. Although, dude, that's not a bad idea. Maybe I should look into taking some homeowner's insurance.
I don't know. I mean, it's like, if you want the hassle, you go for it. Because I've touched it over here in the medical world. If you like waiting for money, you go for it. Personally speaking, I like doing real work for real money. And this is what's real out there is it narrows down who I work with, because people who are expecting things to be paid for free and they think they deserve things to be handled from other people, you know, that type of commie stuff just is generally it's a pain for those people's lives, as you'll see, as if you know anyone who lives the commie lifestyle, you know, it's usually a painful situation for them. And totally. In the same way, it's not someone I'd want to have in my paid life or unpaid life if possible. But in my Facebook, you can certainly see that it's very entertaining.
Absolutely.
Read the comments. Absolutely.
Oh yeah. Oh, see, yeah, totally, dude. That's hilarious. Okay. So all that being said, let's say somebody listening, watching this later, wants to book an appointment with you, wants to gain your insights into how to address some of these issues and get some referrals from there. Like, how can they get a hold of you? What's the best way that they can contact you?
I'll give you my secret email, voluntaryvisions@gmail.com. And I'm keeping that as a way of, you know, I want to like just put Rebunked into the email header and I'll know that you're serious and you're coming through at least this referral. Cool. And I'll be happy to give you a free 15-minute consultation and like say, here's what I could do for free and here's what I could do for a fee and lay out exactly what my offer is. What I do for people who are far away is I make a full healthcare recommendations report. It's the sum of about 3 hours of my work, that's $300. And it gives them a summary of all their problems that they want help with and the health goals that they have. And what dietary considerations I'm going to recommend for them. So I'm sure, you know, like for some people, the dietary recommendations for them are to remain vegetarian. And that's a problem sometimes because they, if they're deficient, but for someone who is extremely overweight, that's called excess actually. And they can do temporary vegetarian or even vegan. That's okay for a little bit. For someone who's really like skinny, like me, that could be a problem. That could be hard, you know, that kind of thing. It's like breatharian thing. It's not, that's not, not easy for everyone to do.
Is that really a thing? Is that for real? Or are those people just like hucksters? Like what's going on?
I haven't looked into it fully, Scott. Like all I know is that I haven't gone there yet, but like, I do know that there's many options, but yeah, for sure. You can reach out to me and I will give you a version of it. But like in the report, I give the dietary, add these, you know, start reducing these foods. Cause like when I'm going to take time to, with an intake, I'm going to find out what you're really eating. And also the medicines and people, supplements are medicines. So if you're taking supplements, I need to know what you're taking, but for sure, pharmaceutical medicines. And I'm going to make recommendations on what to do about that. And that doesn't mean I say, stop all your pharmaceuticals right away. It's like, no, there's a time and a place and a way to do that. And to get off of certain meds requires a procedure. And then lifestyle procedures, you know, like I have lifestyle recommendations. I certainly have exercise for some people that would, maybe they're not doing that could really help. And then of course, then I go into supplements. I have a virtual dispensary of more than 20,000 medicines accessible that I get wholesale. And I can then just, I use my remote diagnostic skills to figure out how to safely handle your stuff. This is like, obviously like this is affordable. Cause you know, if you're like pinpointing something, like I got a client over in Boston, I just handled recently, and just a couple supplements to handle these anxiety, you know, like rapid heart rate, like high blood pressure things. We're talking L-theanine. That's the amino acid that comes from green tea, and the amino acid GABA, you know, gamma aminobutyric acid, no, GABA. And just putting those two together in small doses, not like the doses that I take, and small doses, and that did it, you know. But like I'm sending him, of course, to the final part of the report, which is the professionals. So I take my time to find the professionals within an agreeable driving distance of the client. So, you know, like for you, Scott, like I'd be like looking around this whole Tennessee area, but I would go specific with your zip code. And I would go within, of course, your budget, because I need to know what it is like that. Now, like strong young man like you, like going to lift weights and doing well all the time. I'm hoping that I don't have to work for you for a while, you know?
Yeah.
Or ever, but we'll see. You know, yeah.
You sparked my interest about that losing hair thing. I'm like, what in the hell? I think I've kind of
I know that.
What's that? Yeah, I'm always wearing hats. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's like it's just one of those things.
You could definitely pass for Bill Burr really well. So that's awesome,
dude. Okay, well, I get that all the time. People are always like, "Oh, Bill Burr, who's that Bill Burr looking guy?" Like people say that all the time. I'm like. People come in the comments and I'm like, it wouldn't be so bad if he wasn't such, he was one of the worst when it came to like COVID vaccines, man. He was talking so much shit about vaccinated people or anti-vaxxers and everything. I'm like, fuck you, Bill Burr. Like, why couldn't I look like somebody that's like not such a fucking piece of shit? So anyway, there you go. Anyway. Yeah. It's like, I feel like the guy from Office Space, right? What is his name? You know what I mean? Office Space. What's the guy's name? You know, that's the name of the famous, oh, Michael Bolton. I'm like Michael Bolton from Office Space, right? You remember that whole shtick?
Why should I change my name?
Yeah, why should I change my name? He's the one who sucks, dude. Well, although I will say this too, like I go by my middle name, Scott, and my first name is Michael. So my name is actually Michael Scott. So everyone's like, oh, The Office. I'm like, yeah,
sure. Oh my God.
Yeah, I know.
I know that.
I know. Oh my God. I get that all the time. They're like, oh, Michael's God, look, you must love The Office. I'm like, no, not actually.
Yeah, like, I mean, well, it might not be you, for example, Scott, but there's people that you care about, right?
Sure, people of course. You know, you care about, 100%.
And then you know they have medical problems. You know they're struggling with something.
Yep.
And they're beyond frustrated. It's kind of like, when I get booked on shows for Content Safe, because I've got a booker for those shows, I ask them, hey, have you been censored off of YouTube? And it's like I'm talking to rape victims and I'm mentioning the time when they got assaulted. Yeah. And they have this look in their eyes where there's like, oh, I lost the whole channel. I lost all those subscribers. I'm not even going back on YouTube. And like, this is the experience for people. So when I speak with people who have a real strong medical problem, I have to be entering it very gently and carefully because it's traumatic to speak of what they went through. Here's my funnel. Industrial big medicine. Thank you, Abraham Flexner and the Flexner Report. They messed all of these people up. Like they have like toxic medicines and like unnecessary surgeries that cause damage. And of those people who are messed up, now I get a small segment of them who find me. Mm-hmm. And they are fed up with trusting doctors. Those are the ones who have finally made it into my funnel. And they're confused and they've tried alternative medicine, but they don't know how to pick them. They don't understand the rhyme and reason for how to find them, how to find it. Like here I am, a licensed acupuncturist. How many acupuncturists do you think I'm recommending? Very few. Very few. Why? Why do I not recommend people in my own specific medical field?
Because you know the ones who are faking it and the ones who are legit, right?
No, it's very simple because people who are licensed acupuncturists did not learn applied and clinical kinesiology. They didn't learn muscle testing. They didn't learn a way of true biocompatibility testing for therapies and for medicines and foods. They didn't learn how to do this. This is not part of their schooling. I know. I went through two acupuncture colleges. I became a professor in acupuncture college. I got to teach the stuff. They are not learning it there. Chiropractors also are not learning it, but a small segment of chiropractors, here's all the chiropractors, a small segment, they're applied kinesiologists. A smaller segment, they're clinical kinesiologists. If you find them, they know how to test your foods, your supplements, any medicine that you take, personal care products. We're talking the shampoo. Oh, did you think that was natural?
No.
Did you look up the ingredients?
Yep, I just got red pilled on all that. I switched over to the Dr. Bronner stuff, so I'm using exclusively the Dr. Bronner's. Hopefully, that's okay.
It's better than Prel or whatever passes for that now.
Old Spice.
That's not good there.
I know. Okay, so like, come on, give me some breaks. Give me some breaks here. But yeah, Dr. Bronner's, right? You know what I'm talking about?
But you understand? Like, I mean, there used to be a site, Environmental Working Group, EWG.org. You used to be able to go up and look that up there. You could look up brands. You could look up specific ingredients. But there's many ways. You could look up the material data safety sheet on any ingredient that you can't pronounce or easily say. And that's going to be a clue right there. Like, I mean, is what happens topically with the medicine is important because your skin is absorbing things. Mm-hmm. If your water supply... Like here, it's pretty damn good water supply. It's like this water is the rain coming into a catchment tank that then from there, you know, goes through other filters and then that goes onto my skin. And then the same thing, you know, through other filters and that goes into my mouth. But for most people, you know, you have industrial water. Like you're in a city, Scott?
Yep. Suburb of Nashville. Yep.
So you understand, like it's going to be going through, like, you know, hopefully not fluoridated, but
They're very, very proud of their fluoridation here in Tennessee and Florida. They're very, 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 very proud of it. So I don't drink tap water. Yeah,
that's a tough toxin to remove. Fluoride is one of the hardest ones to remove from the human body, and it's really a challenge like that. But it is, you know, you can, of course, you know, they can have, there are good filters, fluoride and arsenic. They're both like that. They just are extremely toxic and challenging to remove from water. And also challenging to remove from a human body, but you can always like take steps, you know, like there are filters that you could put on for your shower filters for your whole water system. And I know that's money. You know, and it all depends. Like a healthcare professional is going to look into all these things of what's going on. They're going to say, you know, these symptoms that you've got, I think I want to run a nice provoked your analysis test as a test you probably haven't heard of, where they're provoking and like where you basically they're collecting first urine in the morning and you take a provoking agent, which is DMSA. It's a basically a substance that takes toxins out. And then the second urine that comes out with that, and those get put into samples, you know, like containers and mailed off to the lab. And they look and say, okay, lo and behold, you've got high barium, you've got like tellurium poisoning, you've got some of the, you know, like these are high levels of lead, high levels of mercury, barium, you know, like all these things, like they start seeing what's there. Aluminum, not bad, you know. And then that tells you, okay, first test. And, you know, $300 a pop, that's going to be a lot of money for people. But if this is like, this is one way you can find it out, and you don't have to be a doctor to order these tests. You know, I know how to get these tests. Luckily, they've made things very, thanks to the internet, you can buy everything, including these kind of lab tests. You don't need a medical license to get these tests.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. Well, here, let me show you this real quick. So this is Tennessee's community water fluoridation, the number one way to prevent tooth decay. So happy and fun. They're so proud and so excited about their community water fluoridation program. So anyway, so based on your expertise and what you've come across, speaking of laboratory tests, one of the things that we are relentlessly trying to track down, we're reading papers, we're reaching out to doctors all over the place, trying to find a test. Any sort of lab test, you can probably see where I'm going with this, with unjected, a lab test that can conclusively determine whether or not someone has taken a COVID mRNA, mod RNA vaccine. Something that could detect that present in their system and be able to distinguish it from, well, okay, but see, now we're talking like, you know what I mean? Like whether they're detecting like lipid nanoparticles or any sort of commercially available lab test that can detect and basically conclusively say whether or not someone's taken the COVID shot. That's where we're scouring the earth trying to find. So if you come across one, let me know.
I will. I'll let you know if I find that. You know, I think that what would be a little bit easier is to go one step below that to say, what are the toxins that people who have had the misfortune of getting the COVID shots have in them? Mm-hmm. What are those toxins? And identify them if possible. And then now test for those.
Yeah.
Because if you can find a unique identifier, that would be it. You know, you just need to say like a type of, or at least a signature of specific, like in the same vaccinated people, you have the same certain levels of toxins. But the 21st century is so full of toxins that there's so many ways that you can get them that I would hold little hope that it's going to be easy to do. You know, like I think that we at this point, you know, it's going to require something like Star Trek scanning things, like, you know, just sort of like get a full profile, you know, like it's not really that's like science fiction type technology.
I think
the mitigating what the damage is really important. I know that people love the pure bloodness that they have or that they've never been exposed to it. How much do you get from just like, you know, the sweat or, you know, just minimal touching exposure from vaccinated people? I don't even know that one, Scott. Yeah. I've heard stories, but like, I know that it's just in general, it's hard to say. And I think like when I talked with Dr. Andrew Kaufman about this, we weren't able to find really solid conclusive evidence of spike protein contamination. We weren't able to find real like solid evidence of it. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It just means that we couldn't find something to base it on, you know?
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. Now in that paradigm, now just kind of shifting to like the terrain paradigm. Cause I've definitely heard this as well, you know, like the idea of like, well, based on the terrain model, there isn't such thing as a spike protein, but like the way I've kind of interpreted it, the way I look at it, it's like, it's more like bioweapon. You know, it's like mustard gas or some sort of like toxin, because that comports with the terrain model that a toxin was introduced, right? And so maybe like when I talk like spike proteins, when I talk about the stuff that's making people ill from the shots themselves, I'm thinking more along the lines of like an actual toxin or a bioweapon, some sort of weaponized something that is causing all the wreckage. Is that kind of like, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, there's so many vectors that are already the bioweapon, the damaging thing. It's really more of a chemical weaponry is what I, the way I look at it. Because I see things like what I used to think Lyme disease worked with, like how it actually functioned, how it created the symptoms in me when I was 16, and how did it happen that I got better and other people got worse and died, or paralyzed or worse or things like that, you know?
Totally.
How did that all go down? I used to think, you know, according to the idea of this Borrelia babesia infection of these spirochete, you know, bacteria that came in through the tick bite. Mm-hmm. And now I see, I don't think it works that way. And I think in the same kind of way, I don't know what, you know, graphene oxide nanolipids or other strange electromagnetic toxins can be used to do. I don't even know. All I know, you know, I don't have a Daryl Institute, like where I have like where they have like billions of dollars and laboratories and they're like, you know, sifting through all these different people and looking at all these lab results and things. I'm guessing like you are, and I'm sifting through what I could find on this interwebs here, which is like, again, a challenging thing. So now you're asking me to speculate, right?
Sure. I mean, yeah. I mean, just speculation off the top of the head, or any information you've gleaned about it, any topic, you know, anything you've any information you've come across. I guess so.
I think that there are certain people where, were they to take any of the vaccines, especially the mRNA ones for COVID, they have enough already present health problems that it's going to take them down. And there, you have no inkling of what those things are, you know, meaning like, you ever smell that new car smell?
You know, car? Absolutely. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. You get in a rental, for example.
Yeah.
That's phthalates. It's like that you're not smelling. Phthalates are what you're not smelling, meaning like you're smelling other volatile, you know, organic compounds, but the phthalates are like, you know, that plastic on the steering wheel and on the seats and everything like that, that feels all smooth and soft.
Yes.
Those are phthalates. And those can bioaccumulate in people. And those can, you know, like the forever chemicals, basically. You add the injectable. And so someone who's already very toxified, maybe they've had lots and lots of jet travel. Maybe they've had lots of various, you know, exposure because they're always in a new car because they always make sure to have a new car. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they always got the windows closed, you know, because, you know, got to keep all the pests out of the car. And I'm in the future. I understand why you want to keep pests out of your car, you know. But you understand like that, unfortunately, the other problem of that is toxins. If the toxins have built up in a person, these are 21st century toxins and it's not so easy to remove. And then add to that the strange injectable, you know, which I would lean heavy on whatever the toxins are in these shots. I don't know exactly what they are. I've seen the same for the nasal swabs. I've seen like a breakdown of some analysis of those things. And I have the nasal swabs in my clinic because I get to test them on people and see exactly how toxic are they to various different clients that I've got. Small sample size because I don't have a lot of clients, but it is my laboratory where I get to find stuff out. And I think that the right person with the wrong person with the wrong chemicals in them, and it's going to cause a cascade of problems. And that's why you have these athletes who died suddenly, you know, fall down in the midst of their soccer game or their football game or whatever it is with a heart attack, because it was already accumulated in them. They already had a problem. I think that it would really be helpful for people to think in terms of plurality, that there's a lot of different causes for every single condition, whether, you know, it's a longstanding but benign situation like alopecia, or like a very strong problem like myocarditis that's like, you know, extremely like life-threatening. Like, it didn't just happen. It was part of a cascade of all these vectors causing the thing. And only a real professional who's really looking at it can have a chance at finding out what's going to solve it And only by solving it do they actually backtrack to say what might have caused it. Because none of us in the profession can ever say what caused it. Because it's really a plurality of causes. All we could ever do is make it better, hopefully. And if we don't make it better, you move on to another professional. That's the game. Or, you know, like just the same thing for like when they hire you to fix, to do some fixing around their house. You know, if you didn't do it right, then they moved on to another professional and the same thing. And then if they are making it better, what makes it better starts to give you an inkling of what caused it. And for some people, it goes all the way back to their first vaccinations, the first things that happened to them, their circumcision, their vaccinations, the antibiotics that they were given as a toddler for earache, you know, all this kind of stuff with destroying their gut biome and that kind of thing, leading to, you know, the symptoms that they have. You know, I did this for myself a bit. You know, I see what those things are, and it led to the health and the body that I have. Mm-hmm. And only now do I feel like really empowered to really undo the damage, you know?
Interesting. Yeah. Wow. Man, very well said. I think that's just perfect. Like there's really no one right answer. Like there's no quick fix. There's no solution. And, understanding like the root is kind of a stretch, but we can understand like the what's causing it now and kind of address the root cause, which is what is like the complete opposite of Western medicine is. Like we talk about that all the time. It's like they're more concerned about, okay, what's the symptoms? How do we get rid of the symptoms? And then have you keep coming back to address your symptoms. And so, yeah. So, I mean, it's important work you're doing, man. Yeah.
I want to say that it's not like, I don't want to like make it mysterious. It's not impossible. I'm just immediately like, I just typed in ICAK USA. That's the International College of Applied Kinesiology, USA.com/find a doctor. And there you go. You can go ahead and do that. You can find a doctor, meaning like put in your zip code and go ahead and put in the word, you know, like it will find you some of the best professionals ever. Where is that? Find it. There it is. Yeah, find it. And like, yeah, just like obviously not too far away from you, not 100 miles away from you. I would get closer more like 25 miles or at maximum 50 miles. And it all depends on where you are. Like for sure. I know people, you know, who live. Obviously some place, if you put in too close, you'll have nobody. And if you're, you know, it all depends on where you're in, you know, like, if you're right in LA, you're going to have a lot of people right there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, exactly.
You're going to have a lot of people, but yeah, just literally like try 50 miles and try your zip code, Scott. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, I did. It was weird. 37203, which is not my exact zip code, stalkers, but it's nearby. See, it keeps taking me to Kansas City. What the hell is going on? No providers in this area. Okay. So let's go here.
Okay. What else besides Nashville? I wonder,
I don't know. Let's try 800 miles. That's not. Is there something's glitching out, huh?
Well, I don't know.
There we go. There we go. So I'd have to go Louisville. That's about 6 hours. I could go to Marysville. I was just in Chattanooga a couple weekends ago, but yeah, just past Chattanooga over on the Georgia side. Looks like.
In the deep south, it's harder. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you right there. That's... Yeah, it looks like Blairsville's crushing pretty hard. Blairsville, Georgia. They got a couple
but
practitioners
it's not the
down
only
there.
It's like I Atlanta. Have other sites. This is just the one I'm giving out as a freebie. Yeah. I do have other sites that I use to find professionals. And this is just like, I love the people I find on this site because I start to go and I look at their website if they have one.
Yeah, a really good professional. What a great name.
Someone who's really proficient, sometimes like as a doctor, they just don't care about their web presence.
They have
a full practice. My medical teacher here, Robbie Wade, he's like booked out 2 months in advance. He works like 8-hour days. He doesn't care if like you can't find him on the web, you know? Yeah. Like that doesn't matter to him. So people who are really proficient, they might not have a website, but there are a lot of people who do have a website, and then I can start looking and seeing how do they present themselves, and hopefully they mention applied kinesiology because that's important. Maybe they mention clinical kinesiology, which is different and very important. Yeah. You know, like it's this is like means that now you have someone who's likely to be able to find out what hurts you and what will help you and what they're going to do with medicine. They're going to have medicine in the clinic that's going to be useful. And I mean, supplements are medicine. They're going to be able to help you, or they're going to double check to make sure that they don't hurt you with their medicine that they're selling. So why do I not send people to a naturopathic doctor frequently? Is because they usually are not trained in doing this. But man, a naturopathic doctor has a lot of medicine. They have so much medicine. They frequently, they also have a lot of malpractice insurance costs. To be a doctor of naturopathic medicine, they frequently are, in this state at least, they're paying like $30,000 a year for their malpractice. And that's outrageous. Okay. That's crazy. So that means that everything, like, talk about overhead, Scott. Imagine if you had a 30K insurance policy as to be like working on people's homes. Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's crazy, right? But like, this is someone's body. I don't, my malpractice doesn't cost that at all. No, like, everything is covered under, as a licensed acupuncturist, I can do lots of things, and that certainly involves supplements and herbal medicines. That there's so many things I can do, and of all the things I do, the thing that they protect with the license, that's that economic term, regulatory capture.
Yep.
The acupuncture needle, the actual treatment of acupuncture, that's the part where they don't want you, Scott, to practice it and ask for money. They don't want you using needles, and this is the irony. You can mess someone up so bad with supplements that are wrong for someone, but you very rarely are going to mess someone up with an acupuncture treatment. Unless, of course, you puncture their lungs or puncture their internal organs. Usually the lungs are the big deal.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Don't do that, you know, and then you're fine, you know, basically. Like, either it'll help someone or it won't help them. And there's tons of resources online that you could learn the entirety of all of Oriental medicine, including acupuncture, for free. No need to go to college. All you need is the actual skill set to learn how to do that. But to safely learn how to muscle test and test the effectiveness of medicine is actually takes more time, my opinion. It's a skill set to effectively, you know, test people's arms and legs and neck muscles. It's not as simple, I think. And there's other methods too. And there's electromedical tools. Here, I'm getting all excited about it. But
yeah, dude, you know, I love it.
There's a lot of options. There's a lot of options.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That, you know, they don't want us to know about. They don't want us healthy. They want us sick. You know, back to the food industry, like they work hand in hand, right? The pharmaceutical industry, the food industry, they want us sick. They want us at our weakest at all times. I was just looking this up. Here's a trivia question for you. What is the number one item purchased with EBT food stamps? By far.
I don't know this one.
Yeah, that's a good little trivia question. It's soda.
Oh.
Which makes sense. But
because it's caffeine and sugar at the same time.
Sugar, yes, dude. It's like, okay, so if they really cared about our health, they would be like, you cannot buy soda. You cannot buy Ding Dongs. You cannot buy Twinkies. You cannot buy sugary. I mean, okay, you know what I mean? It's like,
if they opened it up to beer and alcohol, everyone would use their EBT.
It'd be 100%
all for alcohol.
Exactly, you know? exactly. And then I know, well, yeah, exactly. It'd be all alcohol and yeah. So
yeah, but they go for the next thing, where it could be sugar, you know, liquid sugar, solid sugar, you know.
You can't like, speaking of like industry capture, regulatory capture, you can't tell me that like Coca-Cola and Pepsi aren't like straight up murdering people to make sure that EBT money keeps rolling in. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you know? Oh yeah. There's my marketing funnel for they hurt all those people and I get a small slice to help them.
Yep.
There's my business model for this one. And honestly, Scott, like, I would rather that didn't happen. Because I have better things to do. Like, I would love to just focus 100% on censorship options, like to distributing videos on making a real StreamYard alternative, you know?
Absolutely.
I can say that on StreamYard? Yes, I can.
Yes, you can. Like, we're coming for you, StreamYard. We're coming for you.
I am coming for you. Yeah. Because, you know, but the good thing is, you've been using it for a while. So yeah. I get to find out all the things you like about it and all the things you don't like about it, so that when we build the alternative for that, it will do that, basically. Yep. That's the idea.
That's it, man. That's true free market right there, baby. Like if you see an opportunity, jump on it, make it better. So yeah.
Yeah. And really it's, keep in mind, like everyone who's like listening and watching, what you're thinking about, like what you put your consciousness and your attention to, you're creating that for yourself. You know, like I created a better cryptocurrency situation for myself this year. So, cause I put my attention and energy in that direction. And that helped me upgrade my car. Like
you can do this.
It's everything is accessible. Like it's going to require that you change how you think about it. If you have healthcare problems, you can find solutions to it. I'm just one solution. Now you know me, but you might not like me, or you might know me and like me, but you don't trust me yet because you know, I'm Daryl Becker. I'm not there's no DR in front of my name. So, and you want someone with a DR in front of your name, their name to trust. So there's a way you can find someone out there who can help you, or you can be the one to help you. I know someone who got off of psych meds, those really hardcore medicines, by just doing like 3 yoga classes a day. Now, like 3 a day, like in addition to other things, obviously, and like losing like somewhere in the 40 to 50 pounds or something like that of excess weight. That's all they had to do was be disciplined and do the work. There's many, many paths to get to where you want to be.
Amen to that, man. And so anybody out there watching, listening, if you want to get some insights into whatever it is you're struggling with or whatever, one more time with the email address, Daryl. Voluntary.
Yeah, go to voluntaryvisions@gmail.com. That's, you know, like I'm into all things voluntary, and that's where I'm hiding myself right there under that one. You can check out my show, Not Medical Advice. I've got 4 more shows that I'm going to be putting up soon. Very grateful to have you on the show, Scott.
Yeah.
And I get to say things on my show that I can't say in front of my clients because it's not relevant to helping them, you know? So I get to kind of go off on various topics, and I do give away some of my secrets on how do I find medical professionals. I go about like revealing a lot of the websites and things like that. It's really accessible out there. Like you can find solutions, voluntaryvisions@gmail.com. That's to reach me. And if you have a show or you know a show like Rebunked, like that is not getting distributed on all the platforms, I'm aiming for Unjected coming up, hoping to snipe them as a client coming up soon.
Yep, we got business to talk about.
Out there, and they're not on the other platforms. They might be on Rumble, but they're not on BitChute and Odyssey, and they're not on Brighteon, they're not on Band.video, they're not on Minds, they're not like populated on all the other platforms. That's where we can help. At contentsafe.co, you can reach me, Daryl@contentsafe.co. I for sure, that's legit. Like I'm gonna help you distribute your video and get it out there. And there's, you know, there's answers and solutions for everything.
Amen to that, dude. Awesome. All right, you guys. Well, thank you, Daryl, so much for tuning in, or for joining me today. Thank you all out there for tuning in. I got another, actually, I don't know. Have you heard of Dr. Thomas Seyfried? I think is how you pronounce his name. So he is a cancer. He's got the cure for cancer. He was just on Jimmy Dore a few weeks ago. So like huge show. And I was like blown away. So I tracked him down. He's coming on next Thursday. So we're going to talk about the cure for cancer next Thursday, everybody. So make sure you tune in for that. And, but Daryl, man, thank you as always. You came and you crushed. I really appreciate it. And we didn't even get into all the controversial stuff we're going to talk about. So we'll have to have you back soon. And we'll dive into the Flexner report and all of the stuff that you're not allowed to say. So there you go. So, yeah, thanks, Daryl. Appreciate it, man. And links are in the episode description, you guys. So make sure you go follow his meme page on Instagram and go follow all of his work. And we'll catch you guys next week. Peace.
Thanks so much.